you need a handout, let me encourage you to come and help yourself. We have several here, and I've imported the scripture for you there, and something that you might want to keep and review a little later on, perhaps. We're in Colossians chapter 3. We've been for several weeks now on Wednesday night speaking. And fellas, I'm just going to use this microphone tonight. Thank you. And about marriage and family and rearing children and the marriage relationship. And tonight's a bit of a reversal of a message. Tonight I want to speak about six goals that Christian parents desire for their children. Now, lost parents, they want their children to be a millionaire by the time they're 30. And parents who aren't saved, they don't have the mind of God, they're wrapped up in the things of this world. But those of us who have been saved, there are some things that we desire from our children. This would be a real good for children to listen to, our college folks to listen to, and us adults as well to get some understanding here. Notice in Colossians 3, the Bible says in verse 17, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives," there's that S word, "submit yourself unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Now, in this passage, we have a real understanding that God gives us of the Christian home. First of all, we see here that whatever we do, whatsoever you do, whether it's in word or deed, we should be able to do it in the name of Jesus. If there's something that we're preoccupied with, if there's something that we're involved with that we can't put the name of Jesus with, we ought not be, should be doing it, should we? I remember we had a man that was saved years ago. This is many years ago. I was an associate pastor in Memphis, and we had this man who had just gotten saved. And the Lord done mighty work in his life, and we were having a picnic. It was like a Memorial Day picnic type thing. And a lot of us were there, and we had bought our picnic stuff, and we were playing softball and soccer and different things like that. And the pastor just turned and called on this new convert to bless the food at the picnic time. And the pastor didn't know it, but the man was smoking a cigarette at the time. And let me use my pen. And he said, you know, he said, "Henry, would you mind blessing the food?" And Henry's going like, you know, what do I do with this cigarette? And he threw it down and stomped it out, and then he blessed the food. You know, there are things that we should not be involved in. If we can't tack the name of Jesus to, we shouldn't be doing it. That's one of them, I'm sure. Not only that, though, but notice he gives instructions to the wife. She's to be submissive. She's to submit herself only to her own husband. And it says, as it is fit in the Lord. I think that's a good clause, that if it's not in the Lord, the wife might need to hold the husband's feet to the fire, that this is not godly. This is not pleasing God. This is not what God would have us to do. And I could tell you illustrations about that. And then husbands, to love your wives and be not bitter against them. And you say, well, why would a husband be bitter against his wife? Well, maybe she had a yard sale and she sold his tools by accident. You know, I mean, you could get some real bitterness out of that, couldn't you? And husbands aren't to be bitter. They're to love their wives. Do I need to remind you, Ephesians 5, three different places it says we're to love our wives, and the wife's to be submissive to her husband. And then it says, children, obey your parents. Notice what it says. It says all things. And it says parents. It doesn't say Christian parents, heathen parents. It just says parents. You're to obey your parents. Listen, you kiddos, listen to me. You rebel against your parents, and your face is going to end up on a milk carton for people looking for you. It never goes well for a rebel. It never does. And children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. When a young person wants to know how can they please the Lord, obedience to your parents, that pleases God. Yes. And then fathers should not provoke their children to wrath and have them discouraged. Now, I read Eddie Ray had mentioned this earlier, and I liked it. And he quoted Ben Franklin. Benjamin Franklin said, "Life's tragedy is that we get old too soon and wise too late." And I read that, and I thought, boy, isn't that true? If I was as smart when I was 30 as what I am now, of course, when I was 30, I had all the answers, you know, like some of you do. Some of you whippersnappers out there, you got it all under control, but life will kick you in the teeth and kick you to the curb and not care. And so in this, I want to share with you, and I won't be long tonight, just six goals that Christian parents desire from their children. Now, we know what God says here about what parents should be given to their children. The wives should love, should submit themselves to her husbands. Husbands should love their wives. Children should obey their parents. Fathers should not provoke their children to anger. All these different things. But let me give you six things that I think are just solid that we should give ourselves thought to about responsibility to our parents. Now, listen, remember when you met your spouse? Remember that? Remember how that was? Man, you had that tingly feeling, you know, and you just wanted to spend time with them, and hours went by so quickly. I would go out and visit Debbie, and I know it's hard to believe now, but back then I had a big motorcycle, and I would ride out in the country to visit Debbie, and she lived, all her neighbors were her relatives, and every one of them had seven dogs, every one of them. And they'd hear that motorcycle coming, and they'd be burr, burr, and running down the lane. And if I wasn't careful, they'd run in front of me and wreck me. And I would get there, and I'd want to spend time with Debbie and talk with her. And she had two annoying little sisters. And I just brought them a pound of M&Ms and told them to go have fun somewhere. And boy, we would talk and get to know each other. And I would go back to civilization from where she lived out in the country. And I would call her. And one night, I remember we were on the phone. We talked till 6 in the morning. You know, and listen, we had jobs. We had to get up and go to work, too. You know, we were so much enraptured with each other, and for many reasons why. But we got married. And then we had children. And then we got a mortgage. And then we had school bills and school books, and we had doctor bills, and we had dental bills. And the motorcycle days were gone, let me tell you. And we were just trying to float. You know what I'm talking about. We were just trying to live each day. And in that, we were doing our best to serve the Lord and to have godly children and to be righteous people and the right example for our children. Now, life's tragedy is that we get old too soon and wise too late. And we see the responsibility of the parents to the children over and over and over. But let me tell you, I think these are six really good, healthy goals Christian parents should desire and that their children should understand. Let me tell you what they are. Number one, your parents desire for you to be happy. When Joy Bell married James, the Lord was just in all of it and in all these marriages. But when Joy Bell married James, she came out of that church, and that white horse pulled up with that carriage, and she was just so beautiful, and James was just James, and was there, and he was striking and handsome, and all that other stuff, and they rolled off, and it was our first child that we see to ride off. And I will tell you something, it was a feeling I never experienced before. And I told my sons-in-law, when I give my daughter away, you do understand I'm not giving them completely away. You know, they're still my daughters. And James understood that. And Rachel was beautiful. She walked out of this church. This church wasn't built when Joy got married, but She walked out of this church, and Joe had a beautiful Tennessee orange, I think a 67, 65, even better, convertible Mustang. And they left off in their honeymoon in that. And it was some real style. But there's something about the first. And Nancy Crook, one of our deacon's wives, she mentioned this. I think she told Debbie, and Debbie told me. And we're talking about our children getting married and leaving. And Nancy said, I'm okay as long as I know that they're happy. And that was like medicine to me. You know, it's something when you get sometimes somebody says something, even secondhand. And I think children need to understand, you teenagers need to understand, I think you should know this, your parents desire for you to be happy. They want you to be happy. Now, in Psalm 1, the Bible says this, blessed is the man, happy. Happy is the man that walketh not the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not withereth, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Understand this. Your parents know this, that if you're going to be happy, they know two things. Let me tell you what they are. Purity brings joy. Amen. Purity brings joy. And holiness brings happiness. And you can look back on your life, and there's a lot of kids today that have sour grapes. They have no reason to be sour. Oh, I grew up in such a firm religious home, and we never went to the picture show, and there's certain things I could wear, certain things I couldn't wear, certain places I couldn't go, certain places I could go, certain people I couldn't hang around. You know what your parents were doing? They were trying to save you from heartache. They were giving you Psalms 1. They knew, happy is the man that walketh not, nor standeth, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. They knew that. And because they loved you so, they put some restrictions on you. They put some boundary lines on you so that you would remain pure, that would bring you joy, that you would be holy, that would bring you happiness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 and 15 says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you to be holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or behavior. Understand this. Young people today have this concept that authority is against them. But I want you to know, righteous authority is for you. And they want you to be happy. We want you happy. We don't want you defiled. We don't want you tainted. We don't want you corrupted. We don't want you with a lot of baggage. We don't want you to bear scars. We want you to be happy. And your parents, Christian parents, desire for you to live a life of joy and happiness by purity and holiness. Secondly, let me say, your parents desire for you to be financially wise and secure. Wise and secure. The Bible says this, Colossians 3:5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love, not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil, while which some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Luke 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Covetousness is the itch for more. Not being content with what God has supplied. I know people today, you know them well as I do. They've got a B-52, but the B-53 comes out, and you're not going to be happy until you get the B-53. What is it, an iPhone 14 coming out? Is that what's next? You know, and you got to get rid of that iPhone 8 or that iPhone 11 or whatever it might be. You know, you got to have the new phone. You got to stand in line at the phone store. You got to stand in line and be there like you're going to some big deal, and you're standing in line to be one of the first ones to get in the new phone. Let me tell you something. You're never going to be happy with this covetousness. It will ruin your life. It will wreck your life. You will waste your money. We're told in Luke 12, verse 15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. I have visited people before, and they'll say, do you like such and such? And I say, oh yeah, those are nice. Let me show you some. And they'll take me to a special room, and it might be guns, it might be knives, it might be fishing equipment, and man, they can just go, and they got hundreds of thousands of dollars locked up in this kind of stuff. Now, I'm not against fishing or hunting or any of that kind of stuff, but I want to tell you this. It's like the bumper sticker I saw years ago on this truck back in the 80s where they would chop all these trucks down. You remember that? They were all chopped down. And they had a bumper sticker that says, he who dies with the most toys wins. I thought, that is so untrue. Because you don't find a U-Haul trailer behind any hearse. Understand what he says here. For a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And parents, Christian parents, they want you to be happy, but they want you to be financially wise and secure. Now, it takes time to get there. And I want you to know that when you marry, there are couples who marry, and they want to have overnight what their parents have collected over 40, 50 years of marriage. You know, and they have cards, they max them out. They spend next week's and the week's after salary on their toys and on their things. I know folks who bought, I've been in homes visiting, that bought these mansions of a home, and what they've invited me in, and there's nowhere to sit hardly because they can't afford to furnish it with any furniture. Sad. It's really sad. But they have this big facade, this huge home, or this, you know, I know people, and you say what you want to say on this. I'm just taking my view on it. But anybody who leases a car just is a sucker to me. I'm sorry. You know, after 3 years lease, you've got a bag of air. You know, I believe in buying a car, buying a good one, and driving the wheels off of her, and then giving it to somebody who can use it then. And, you know, be wise. Your parents cannot steadily bail you out your burdens and your situations. Your constant drain, constantly needing, the rent money, the mortgage money, a grocery money. But at the same time, you're eating out at every restaurant. I remember there was a family who came to me, and they said, Pastor, we're in a really tight spot here. We really can't afford to pay the rent, and we're going to be evicted if something's not done. And things are just really, really tight for us. And he asked me, he said, would you please take an offering up for us? Now, I've never had anyone ask me that before, but I said, yes, I will. I'll do that. And I asked our church to give, and our church is very benevolent and very giving, and gave a substantial amount of money that much more covered those needs. And they called us, and they said, we want you to come over, bring your family with you, and we're rejoicing what God has done for us. We want you to come and celebrate with us. And we came over to the house, and they had paid all, they paid some of their bills, but they said, look here, we got Wi-Fi in our house. We never had Wi-Fi before. I thought, man, I don't have Wi-Fi at my house. I can't afford it, you know. And they were having all this food brought in for us to eat and to shower. And I was thinking, man, what is wrong with you? You need to sit on this money. There's been times that we've taken, many times we've taken food to needy families on the bus routes. And I mean, they're just very needy. The children are hungry and need food, and we've gone out there. We never give cash. We never give money. If it's the utility bill, we go and pay the utility bill for them. We pay it for them. We take them groceries, and we've come back by on that was like on a Thursday night. We come back by on Saturday visitation, and they're having a block party, and the whole trailer park's at their place, and they got hot dogs and burgers and things are going, and I'm just thinking, you know, what are you thinking, man? That was to try to last you for some time. Listen to me. Everybody has a well, but it has a bottom to it. It runs dry after a while. And your parents want you to be wise. They want you to be secure in your finances. Now, when you're first married, there's transition that takes place, and it's okay. I believe it's okay. I don't ever loan money. I give money. When you loan money, it ends up going bad. It just goes sour, and I don't ever loan money. I give money. If you need money tonight, see Rick Sellers. He's got it probably. I don't have any money or anything. And but be financially wise with your money. Listen to me. You cannot eat out as cheap as what you can eat at home. You can't do it. You can't do it. So, well, you know, I don't know. You see what the price of groceries. I was in Ohio preaching a couple weeks ago, and I had to go to the grocery store. I hadn't been to the grocery store. I think last time I went to the grocery store was 2004. It's been a while. And a can of Planters peanuts were like $7. I just want a little something to munch on in my hotel room, you know. I didn't do it. I bought some kind of off knockoff brand for $1.99. I think it was Gravel, you know, but it had peanuts in there. And I'm not paying $8, $7 for a can of peanuts, man. You know, they were not even cashews. They were just peanuts. Now, you cannot, it is begrudging someone. Let me tell you something. It's begrudging someone who is a giver when he gives you a gift to meet the need and you play the fool with it. And or you take those funds that were designated and you do something else with it. What you do is you cut that giving off right there. You won't get another dime. And so it's important that you are financially wise. You be smart with your money. Say, well, how is it cheaper to eat at home? Because you can eat two and three times off of a meal at home. Debbie still cooks for a full family. I've been eating chili 7 days in a row, you know. That's not true. I'm joking. That's not true. I did have chili yesterday. But she has leftovers. And I have found out with certain like chili and her spaghetti, after it sits there and all those ingredients really get involved in there, it's better when that thing is heated up. And you cannot eat out cheaper than what you can eat at home. So be wise, financially wise and secure. Number three, your parents desire for you to be mature. Grow up. Find out that, you know, there's no tree with money on it that you go out in the backyard and shake when you need a few dollars. Grow up, put away your childish ways. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away my childish things. Develop into a mature person. Be a person of substance. Be a thinker, a deep, deep thinker. Can I just tell you? And I don't have this. I'll tell you what. When we got our sons-in-law, we hit the jackpot with both of them. I hate to say that because I hear their heads getting big already. I don't worry about my daughters. James Gray is so kind and thoughtful. And Joe Grapes is just like me. Rachel married her daddy. But he has the tenacity of a pit bull, and he's going to hold on and hang on till he gets it right, till he gets it fixed. And both these guys will tell their wives, don't worry your pretty little head about this. I'm going to take care of it, and they take care of it. Man, but I want to tell you something. If I had a son-in-law that wouldn't work, and he's up at 3 o'clock in the morning playing video games, and he's 32 years old, I'd have a problem with that. Grow up. I played ball all the way through school, from fourth grade all the way through high school, and I went to college, and I realized I did not have time for ball. I did not have any support. I didn't have any rich daddy. I didn't have any grants. I didn't have I didn't get an academical scholarship. I didn't get that. If they gave away scholarships for joke telling, I might have really done well for that. But I didn't do well with that. And I got two jobs. And I realized my freshman year, my ball games, my time on the team, that was done. And now it's time to put away these things. These other guys who can do that, and they got a big daddy that's floating their bill, or maybe they got a scholarship or something, that's fine. But you know, we got kids here that are in college, and I highly respect them. They work jobs, and they work a job waiting for another job to come in, a better job that they're looking forward to. I really respect that. You know what? That shows maturity. You need to grow up. Develop into a mature person. Be a person of substance. Have some seriousness about you. Hebrews 5, verse 12 through 14 says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first pinnacles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now, I know this is not exactly pertaining to maturity of growing up, but it is talking about maturity, strong meat, and being a full age about the word of God. And your parents' desire for you to grow up. When I was talking to Isaac a while ago, and he's got a Mustang out there that really growls and everything. And I was telling him when I was 16, I had a '64 Chevrolet Impala, and it had a 327 double pumper four barrel in it. Literally, you could punch it and you can watch the gas gauge fall. I mean, I watched it fall. I had big old 50s on the back of it with Krager mags, and I had air shocks on it. I had it jacked up way high in the back. My dad said, he would say, "Son, you don't need to get gas. You'll just roll downhill everywhere you want to go." That's what he'd say to me. But I want you to know, I put those rims on that car. I put the rubber on that car. I paid for the gas on that car. And I want you to know that if I laid a patch of rubber, if I want to show my friends, I weighed the cost, because that patch of rubber, I was going to be the one have to replace it. You know, when you have everything handed to you, just given to you, you don't know the value of it. And it's important that you are mature, and that you understand the things of life. And listen, some of you, you're in between, you're developing. But you need to understand your parents. They want you to be happy. They want you to be financially wise and secure. They want you to be mature. It's hard to help dig you out of dumb, stupid things that you've done. You know, there's a saying, you know, what's that saying? The first time fooled me once, shame, shame. Fooled me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And so you need to mature. Now, understand this. You may think you're mature tonight, but you're probably not. And those of us who do, we all still have blind spots. Number four, notice, your parents desire to be proud of you. Whatever name you have, unless you're a lady who gets married, you're going to have that name. And I want you to know, some of us have come from a pretty rough background with uncles and aunts and family members that were known by the law and had their picture hanging up in the post office and some different things like that. And we've worked hard to clean up a name, but you should desire to make your parents proud. Psalm 127, verse 5, "Happy is a man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates." Proverbs 27, verse 11, "My son, be wise and make my heart glad." Proverbs 19, verse 26, "He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is the son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach." Your parents do not want you to bring a deep reproach or shame. Proverbs 30, verse 11, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. We're living in that generation. We're living a day where children who are 25 and 30 and 35 and some shamefully even 40 who curse their father, curse their mother, and it's a shame. Proverbs 30, verse 17 says, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. Understand this. Be an achiever. Live your life that your parents can say, that's my boy. That's my daughter. I'm proud. I want you to know, and I say this carefully, in 33 years of me pastoring Bethel Baptist Church, I don't think you've ever seen this, but when Joy Bell gets up to sing, my heart burst. When Rachel plays the piano, I'm just as proud. I'm so thrilled. We taught all four of our kids to live for God and to serve God. And when we see our grandchildren following that, I just can't tell you how wonderful that is. I'd rather have that than $1 million. I'd rather have a kid and a grandkid that loves God and loves the Word of God, loves the house of God, loves the man of God, loves the people of God, than all the gold in China, all the tea in China. I'd rather have that. Number five, your parents desire to be respected and appreciated by you. You ought to respect your parents. First of all, God commands it. It says to honor your mother and father. You ought to respect them. Let me tell you something. Your parents have forgotten more than what you know, probably. And some of us, we don't know what it's like to have a parent come into our house with groceries or to give an extra $100 here or there. We would not know that. Some of us never had parents who would do that if they could. They just were not able to do something like that. But your parents want to be respected and want to be appreciated. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Ephesians 6, here it is. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Don't ever forget what your parents have done for you. Ever. Don't ever forget that. You know, I think some kids today take those things that were great sacrifice and would say, well, their parents are supposed to do that. Or my friends have parents who do much more than that. But these are your parents, and you should always respect them, and you should always appreciate them. Don't ever, ever forget and take your parents for granted. Mm-hmm. Lastly, number six, your parents desire to be needed in your future. Your parents don't want to be castaways. They want to serve some purpose. Debbie and I, we have the empty nest that we live over there on 81 Small Oak in a palace, and we have all of our gold stacked up on the table and all the world's wealth there. No, we don't have any of that. I tell you what we do. We love babysitting our grandkids. We love to be able to go out with our grandkids and do things for them that we couldn't afford to do for our own kids. We didn't have it back then. Proverbs 11:14 says, where no counsel is, the people fail. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You know what? Your parents want you to come to them and say, I've got two ways here, A or B. Which one do you think I should go? I believe in Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. And when I go to someone about automobile counsel, you know, I've gone to Billy Miller two or three times, and he would tell me what he thinks. I would follow his counsel every time. I never one time said, I want this car, I don't care what he says. because I knew it would be a lead sled, some, it'd be a paperweight somewhere. I follow the counsel. I go to the doctor. I went to the doctor recently, and he said, here's two different ways that you could go. I asked the doctor, if you were me, which way would you go? And he says, I would have the surgeries, and I'll tell you why. He laid them out, and I said, I'll do the surgeries. I'm following his counsel. Do you know what it is? Can it listen to me? When you don't go to parents, when you don't go to a party of mature people who have some measure of success and ask their advice, it shows your arrogance and your pride. And you can't go to your buddies. You can't go to your buddies in the dorm and ask them. They're going to tell you what they think you want to hear. You can't go to some 14-year-old girl and ask her. She don't know any more than you do. Go to your parents. Your parents want you to be happy. Your parents want you to be financially wise and secure. Your parents want you to be mature, grow up. Your parents want to be proud of you. Your parents want to be respected and appreciated. And your parents want to be needed in your future. They still have much to give you, if not in money, in advice, and in wisdom. And God's people said. Amen. Now these are some things that some years ago I sat down. We had seen Joy Bell go off in the horse-drawn carriage listening to Gone with the Wind. We saw Joe and Rachel ride off in the sunset in the Tennessee Orange Mustang. Our boys had gotten married. And I sat down one day and thought, we've lived all our life for our family and our children. What do we do now? Now, don't misunderstand this. We have a happy place over there, and we enjoy the empty nest. It's great. And amen. You know, it's great. But we want to be a part, and we want to help. And you know what? I'll tell you this. It's a lot easier to throw in some cash to help when you have come beforehand for counsel. But it's a really sore to have to put something in to try to help dig you out of something that if you had just asked, we could have helped you with. Am I telling the truth tonight? Amen. These are some real steps of wisdom tonight. And only you can make it happen. So what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible tells us that we are to love our wives. Wives are to submit to the husbands. Children are to obey their parents and honor their mother and father. Fathers aren't to provoke their children, but I believe we have six solid principles here that on this side of marriage and parenting are the desires of godly parents. This is what I would have for all my children, and I want to see them pass that down to my grandchildren. Would you stand with me tonight? God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. We're going to give an invitation. I want you to think about it before we give the invitation. Think about your parents. Think about your relationship. I want you, if there's any bitterness you have toward your parents, I wish you'd come and confess it. If don't understand some of this, you should understand that your parents, they do want you happy. They want you to be happy and sound. They want you mature. And maybe you should come tonight and ask God. And let me say, as parents, there's none of us that are perfect. Not one of us. And I want to tell you kids something. You better give your parents some mercy and grace, because you're going to need it with your kids, because you're not going to be perfect either. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight and work in our hearts and lives. Lord, the devil has shredded so many parents, our families rather, and it doesn't matter if it's a prodigal. The father just wants his son to come back. It doesn't matter if it's great failure from the daughter. The mother wants to have that daughter back, and Lord, we want that influence, and we want that help and love that we want to share. Help us tonight to realize just how much jeopardy our homes are in. We're living in a day where young adults have disdain for their parents. And it's wrong. It's sin. And I just ask God that you'd help. And I pray that this will give some young people, some college age folks, some teenagers, some young married couples, an understanding of what their parents, and there may be parents here tonight that didn't realize this is what they really wanted out of their kids. They may not fully understand. They may not be able to articulate this, but tonight it's been articulated for them. There's not one thing they would probably disagree with. They love to have these six goals in their children and see that passed down to their grandchildren. Bless tonight. Lord, would you draw us to you, that we'd be closer to you tonight? Lord, would you work on that hard, calloused, cold heart? And may we have a fervent fire revival come into our life. Lord, would you do a great work in our marriages and our families and in our churches? In thy name I pray. God's spoken to you tonight. Without hesitation, you come now, right now.